Hello, Grandview family. Well, it's precious, to say the least, to be preaching this final sermon today after 10 years of serving as a pastor here at Grandview, giving love and receiving love. When we started 7 years ago, Aaron and I pastored together for 4 years, which was a really, really rich experience. But undoubtedly, the most significant event in the life of the church in the last 7 years has been the death of the overhead projector in 2018, right? Am I wrong? And I just want to use this final lap around the park to kind of set the record straight regarding that, to clear my reputation that has been called into question regarding the overhead projector. I want to bust a Grandview myth right here, right now. Contrary to the popular story that I was the one who led the overhead projector to its grave, as told by Curtis Peters, Jake Tucker, and Scott Neufeld at a variety show 2 years ago. Am I wrong? In reality, I was the one and only pastor who argued strongly that we should keep the overhead projector. That's what I'm talking about. And so, in harmony with this fond attachment of mine, I want to use the overhead projector here as this little beauty in my final sermon today. Now, who in their right mind would want to replace this little beauty with new, improved technology, right? I mean, stare at the screen for 10 minutes and you'll have a migraine guaranteed. But there's still 10 minutes of good viewing right there, my friend, right? Well, I want to return to our own community in a few minutes. But let's take a moment to think about the birth of Christian community, period, in Acts chapter 2. Because maybe there's something for us to learn about ourselves here. In Acts chapter 2, as you may remember, the Spirit of Christ comes upon the Christians in power for the first time. It's what's known as the day of Pentecost, and today is Pentecost Sunday when we celebrate this. We remember this event. Now, Acts chapter 2 is asking, what is the meaning of Christian community anyway? And what is the purpose of this time in history? You may already know the story. In Acts chapter 1, the resurrected Christ appears to his disciples and promises to send the Holy Spirit. And then, Acts chapter 1 verse 9, it says that the people gathered, that Christ's followers gathered together constantly in prayer, men and women. That's very important, mark that they were gathering together constantly in prayer. Now, during the Feast of Pentecost, an annual Jewish feast, a harvest festival, Jerusalem was just filled with Jewish pilgrims from all over the Roman Empire, from every nation, speaking many, many different languages. And during Pentecost, the disciples again gathered, doubtless praying. And the Holy Spirit came upon them as if it was tongues of fire resting on them. And the disciples started to speak in other languages. And a crowd gathered, and they all heard this good news about Jesus in their own language. And that's where I want to be. The lens I want to use for Acts chapter 2 today is these languages. What's the significance of all of these languages? Well, verse 4 of Acts chapter 2, it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Devout Jews from every nation were amazed and astonished. We hear, each of us in our own native language. What is the significance of these languages? This is the sound of intimacy, Willie J. Jennings says. Speaking another person's language is a moment of intimacy. And I am drawing heavily on Willie J. Jennings here. When we speak a language, we speak a place. We speak a people, a cuisine, a geography, a land. We speak the intimacy of a household. When someone speaks our language, we feel known. If these Jews from the diaspora gathered in Jerusalem hear about the mighty works of God in their own tongue, in a moment of intimate joining. But can you imagine the experience of these Jewish foreigners? As the disciples speak to them in the language of their mothers and fathers, they are drawn into communion. They're more drawn more deeply into a story that has seemed to have withered, but that Jesus has rehabilitated. God takes the lead. Let's just note that this moment of intimate joining through language didn't begin with human imagination. No human being imagined it or initiated it. Oh, for sure, the disciples were gathering and praying and waiting. They may have even been praying for the coming Holy Spirit, but they did not predict this. No one thought that this joining through a miracle of linguistics was on the table. This revolution of tenderness was God's doing from start to finish. But let's just note this, Grandview community. Let's note this is a call to prayer, to wait and pray that the Holy Spirit would fall on our community in power. Let's just mark this moment in Acts chapter 1 and 2. Now, you probably already know that this moment in the biblical story is not only about prayer, it's also about witness. You may remember that in Acts chapter 1, Jesus resurrected, the resurrected Christ had appeared to the disciples, Acts 1:8, and said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And now here in Acts chapter 2, Jews from every nation in the Roman Empire were hearing the news of the resurrected Christ. Verse 8, how is it that each of us hear, each in their own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, and so on. The list goes on and on and on. Now just think, each of these people represents a place of origin spread around the Roman Empire. The symphony of languages here is an overture, a beginning, if you like, to the spread of the gospel that we will see throughout the book of Acts to the ends of the earth. But I think that a part of this witness, as displayed in languages, is the tenderness of the kingdom of God, the revolution of tenderness that is within the gospel. This is a joining of people in Christ. But did you notice in this story of intimacy that God is first joining to them? It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God desired them in love and came upon them in the Holy Spirit. It reminds me of Mary's very intimate moment where it says the Most High will overshadow you in Luke chapter 2. You know, Willie J. Jennings writes this, "Speak a language, speak a people." Speaking announces familiarity, connections, relationality. God speaks people fluently, Jennings says. And God, with all the urgency that is in the Holy Spirit, wants the disciples of his only begotten Son to speak people fluently as well, Jennings says. And I think this is one of the many great surprises in Acts chapter 2. You know, when we think of Jesus' mission, I don't know about you, but, you know, I sometimes think of cross-cultural missionaries going to unreached people groups when you think of Jesus' mission. And that's true. It's not wrong. But it's a meal without the vegetables. The vegetables is local communities of tenderness that are loving their neighborhood, bearing witness to Jesus by their transformed life. You know, through the story of the book of Acts, to be sure, the gospel goes to the nations. But right at the beginning of Acts, here in Acts chapter 2, it starts with a beloved community. And in the book of Acts, in every city and in every town throughout the Roman Empire, there are communities are planted who bear witness to Jesus in their life and word and deed. Beloved communities. We see this especially at the end of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. You might want to read that last section of Acts chapter 2 after the service today. But let's come back to talking about our own community more specifically now. Erin shared with me the other day that our two-year-old niece said something funny. She said, The peace of Christ broken for you. The peace of Christ broken for you. And of course, that beautiful phrase is mashing together two sayings that we know so well. The peace of Christ be with you, we say every Sunday. The body of Christ broken for you, we say every Sunday, at least when we're not social distancing. The peace of Christ broken for you mashes together these two phrases, right? It doesn't quite work, but it also, it works. It works so well. To me, the peace of Christ broken for you, it evokes the pain involved when human beings are mashed together in community. And it reminds me that Jesus mashes himself in with us. The peace of Christ broken for you. It's interesting to unpack the phrase, the peace of Christ broken for you. Christ's peace is broken. We break Christ's peace. Christ is broken. We are broken. We are broken by one another. We are just broken. Christ is broken by others, by us, for us, with them, within us. Christ invites us together as a makeshift family and rushes in to join us. Better, Christ stretches out his arms and powerfully draws us together to himself. But let's just return to this overhead projector here, this little beauty. Maybe it was sentimentality that motivated me to want to really keep that overhead projector. Because after all, it was the overhead projector played a role in the Grandview family getting to Grandview in the first place. See, back in 2013, Aaron was actually attending the Grandview evening service while I was pastoring elsewhere. Attended church where her husband wasn't a pastor, and she dragged me along one evening in 2013. Monica Hoff was preaching, now Monica McKinley. Jeanette Moss was leading worship, I remember, and Jamie Spray welcomed us at the door. But as part of that worship service, we sang Tom Wees' transcendent song, Something Like Scales. And these words I'm about to read were projected up on the screen by this overhead projector right here. We sang, in our blindness, lead us down that road. In our ignorance, lead us down that road. In our violence, hate, and indifference, we pray, Lord, you give us new sight. Let something like scales fall from our eyes. Jesus, lead us down that road. And I tell you, I encountered Christ afresh that evening in the evening service. In the words, in the community, and in the values, frankly, that stood behind treasuring something that was as simple, outmoded, and disposable as an overhead projector. Let me offer you this blessing. Would you open your hands to receive? Grandview family, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make the divine face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the divine face to you and give you peace. Amen.